confidence not found in me. It's your faithful. Come on again. I will rest in your promise. My confidence is your faithfulness. I will rest in your promise. It's my confidence. Oh, is your faithful? I will rest. I will rest in your promise. It's my confidence. Found in you, your faithful. Oh, I will rest in your promise. It's my confidence. Is your faithful,
everybody. God bless you and thank you for being here with me this morning. We are here again. It is March 26th, year of our Lord 2024. It is 9:10 a.m. here on the East Coast. I know it's a lot earlier on the West Coast and in the Midwest, but I appreciate you guys waking up, rising up. Rising up with your coffee, with your Rise Up coffee, and getting up and getting your Bibles ready, and so we can go through some scripture and focus on today's topic. And we've been getting a lot of requests on today's topic, a lot of questions, a lot of comments, a lot of debate around this topic, and it is the rapture, ladies and gentlemen. And as you can see, I am decked out in my rapture ready gear, which you can also get on jeremyharrell.com Gizme.com. Good to see you, Jay Gizme. Miranda Dolan, good morning. Trishy, 110, Water Cup, My Rock and Salvation, Steve Craw, Death Comes to Everyone, God Let Us Not Be Afraid, Rachel Hawk, Eileen Jimenez, good morning to you too, thank you. Mustache, Splendor Faith, Kalia says, do not forget to rumble and share. CQ said, Rapture Ready here. I wish more people taught the rapture and salvation. One thing that gets me up at 5:45, except for work, of course, says Kittenhead. Amanda Collins is here. I'm wearing my Rapture Ready hat. Jeremy, that's amazing. I see you posting that stuff all the time. By the way, guys, if you get gear from jeremyharrell.com, feel free to post pictures of it on social media. Get people involved. More people order, and we'll get more of an income coming in here. Happy birthday, Chris. Happy birthday to you. It's Chris's birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Chris. Happy birthday to you. Here's for you, brother. If it's a girl. I know that there's a lot of Chris's out there. It's time of judgment, not wrath. Well, today we're going to be breaking that down. We're going to be diving into scripture that supports what we call the rapture today. And not just scripture that supports it. Scripture that also talks about when Jesus comes back after the tribulation. And what supports us, or what supports the rapture even then. So we're going to break that down today. We're going to have a lot of discussion, maybe some debate in the live chat. I'm sure we will. I'm rapture ready regardless. You should be as well, because it is a great way to live your life. Always be ready, as we know that it's going to come like a thief in the night, so fast, in the blink of an eye, in the spark of a moment, it's going to happen. So, I mean, why should we live any other way, right? You know how we always talk to atheists and agnostics about, well, you have car insurance, you have health insurance, you have house insurance. Why not have, I don't know, salvation insurance and at least believe in God, right? Rosebud, you're very welcome. Thank you for the Instagram tutorial. You're very welcome. I'm glad that that it helped out, because I know a lot of people don't want to be segregated from what's going on in our political spectrum anymore. A lot of people want to know exactly what's going on. So it's the more we can see, the better, right? From all sides. There are some great teachers and pastors out there that teach eschatology. I actually talked about that a little bit last night. I was talking to my wife about that last night. Don't just get ready. Be rapture ready. Yeah, we don't want to get rapture ready. We want to be rapture ready. Thank you. Good to see you, T. Mitchell. MJD816. And I want to take this time. We're at 15 minutes past the hour now. Before we get into the description, before we get into prayer, I want to take this time to say that anybody that I may have hurt your feelings or offended yesterday by my ranting and my passionate views on Live from America, I just want to let you know that I apologize if that if I in any way made you feel horrible or singled out or whatever. But, you know, a lot of people have, and I don't want to say buts in a sorry, I'm sorry for that. And now let me just go on and say this. We've all been here a very long time. We've all been fighting this same war on a overbloated government and a godless society for so long. You've seen it happen so many times. You know that I look in the chat. That's not an excuse for my behavior, but I'm just saying, you know, I look in the chat, and if something passionate is being talked about and somebody says something, it's not like I prepare, it's not like I plan. Everything is pretty much straight from the hip, cut into the chase. So, you know, I don't mean to do those things. They just happen. So just want to let you all know, if that in any way offended you yesterday, or if any of the ranting on Live from America offends you, you know, it's not anything personal. And we'll leave it at that. So, Jay Gizmi says, I'm doing a rapture study with Pastor Lewis Green on his book, Words That Reveal the Revelation. So good. The one I am said, question is, are you ready? At any given time, be rapture ready. Jeremy, we need that kind of passion to fight this war. You got our blessings. We got your back. Don't worry about the left-wing nuts. It's not only about the left-wing nuts. It's about the same people on our side, too. Truth requires no apology. No, but actions do, right? Truth requires no apology, but actions and decisions do sometimes. And, Jeremy, we needed the exhortation. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. And I don't wear my feeling. Don't wear my feelings hurt easily. You're good with me. All right. Well, thank you very much. All right. Somebody said, what did you do? Rachel says, what did you do? I just talk to people who talk in the chat. And if they say something that, you know, catches my attention, I answer. And sometimes it's not the way people want me to answer. So, you know, even T. Mitchell says, I argue with Jeremy all the time, right? Healthy families argue. All right, well, let's get to the prayer, folks, and then we'll get to the topic of today's show, which is the rapture. And is it real? And what can you expect? So please remove your hats and your headphones if you're wearing them, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, as we start today, this Tuesday of Holy Week, we ask that you help us navigate this very, very, very heavily charged topic in the Christian faith. Throughout denominations, the Catholic Church and others, rapture is talked about so much, but never mentioned as the word rapture in the Bible. So Lord, today we're going to go through what the rapture actually is, what it means, is it real, and what can we expect being rapture ready. Lord, today this is one of these topics that a lot of people are going to have a lot of questions on. So Father God, I pray that you help me and guide me through these scriptures so that it makes sense and so that it's truthful and it comes from you through the Holy Spirit, through me. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, Bernadette. Good to see you. Thank you very much. Jeremy, people need to get in armor and quit being sensitive. You don't need to apologize. You know, I'm talking more along the lines of when I say, then don't watch. Get out of here. Go watch something else then. I don't care. Or somebody say, well, I'm going to not donate to you anymore. Donate. Don't donate. We don't need your money. That kind of stuff. I don't think Jesus would respond that way. So, you know, it actually bothered me all night last night. And I was laying in bed at 2:30 this morning thinking about it, actually. And if I'm laying in bed and something's bothering me at 2:30, and I've taken my magnesium and I've taken my CBD and I should be sound asleep and something's bothering me at 2:30 in the morning, well, I guess I need to address it, right? Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Okay. Rapture ready. I want to read the description for you today. Rise Up, episode number 322. So many people have questions about the rapture. Is it real? Is there only one return of Christ during the second coming, or is it two parts? What proof do we have? Why doesn't it say the word rapture in the Bible? Today, the Lord wants us to discuss this topic, and in the end, seek Christ and don't let anyone deter you from your mission. Please help me do your part today in spreading the gospel, not gossip, by sharing this video, sharing this link on all of your social media platforms. Jeremy, please pray for the bridge collapse. Definitely. Thank you for your apology because I can't bear not to watch. Grammy Love says, all good. Well, I love you, Grammy. And it's and again, like I say, I apologize. All right. So I have a lot of scriptures to get to today. So we're going to be moving around in our Bibles, but I want to start, I think, by talking about what does the Bible really say about the rapture? Now, I have a few different articles, writings, and pieces, opinion pieces, from places and people that I respect, mixed with some of my own thoughts on the rapture as well, but we're going to go to scripture for everything. Now, I want to read to you the best way to describe what the rapture is for people who don't know what it is. The rapture is the idea that believers in Jesus Christ will be caught up or taken away from the earth to be with him before a period of what the Bible calls tribulation and judgment. Now, the term rapture that you see on my hat and on my shirt itself is not explicitly found in the Bible. Rather, it is derived from the Latin word rapturo, which translates to caught up or snatched away. And caught up, snatched away, taken from the earth, all of those terms and words are used in the Bible. So there's one word that describes that of Latin descent, which is rapture, coming from the word rapturo. It's a hotly debated topic among Christians in the present day, with academics settings as well as church settings. There are many different views surrounding the rapture, which have been developed by various scholars over time. Depending on the view you hold, will affect how you view the events of eschatology. In this article, we are going to be discussing what the Bible says about the rapture. Now, during this article that I'm going to read for you, Juphoff, you nailed it right there. Christ calling home his bride before his wrath is unleashed on the world. Boy, you called that correctly right there, because the cool thing about it is what actually supports the rapture is that after the tribulation, the bride is with Jesus. The bride isn't brought to Jesus. The bride is brought to Jesus during the rapture. The bride is then cleansed and then wearing robes of white and beautiful, and there with Christ, with her groom, the church, and Christ coming on a white horse. We are with Christ. The bride is with the groom at that moment. That's after tribulation. That's post-tribulation. So I think that's probably the best, one of the best pieces of proof that there are two parts of the second coming. But we'll continue to get into that. The Bible passages surrounding the rapture include many verses. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18, 1 Corinthians 15:50 through 54 are what we're going to focus on first, okay? So again, 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18, if you want to write that down, and 1 Corinthians 15:50 through 54, if you want to write that down. In each of these Bible passages, the Apostle Paul gives us vital information surrounding the rapture. Paul tells us that the rapture will happen quicker than the twinkling of an eye. How fast is the twinkling of an eye? Faster than you can blink. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever, 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 17. So that right there is a very, very, very important piece of information right there. The dead will rise first. We who are still alive will rise second. After that, we will be caught up together with them. Who's them? Who's them? The raptured. The ones who are all brought together, dead and alive. The bride. The church, us, together, as one, with the Lord from that moment on, forever. Now, we're going to revisit that statement later on in this show. Because that statement right there, with the Lord forever, is really the only thing that matters through all of this conversation that we're having today. Okay? I hope, actually I know, because I'm leaning on the Holy Spirit right now, that we are going at a good speed here. Here we go. From Paul's words in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, we are told that the Lord will come down from heaven, but he will not physically touch down upon the earth. The Lord will not touch down physically upon the earth until the second coming, which is distinct from the rapture of the church. Many scholars blend the second coming of Christ with the rapture, saying that the second coming is one act, one time, one thing. Yet there are two distinct events that will occur in the future. In addition to the Lord coming down from heaven, the passages of 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17 tells us that there will be a loud command and the voice of the archangel will speak. Now, while we don't know what this command will be like or how it will sound, we know what it'll be when it comes, right? Because Jesus says that if you are part of his flock, you will know it when you are called, correct? You'll know. It could possibly be the Lord calling us to him to come home. Similar to the loud command, scholars are divided on the identification of the archangel. Yet most scholars agree that this will be the voice of the archangel Michael. Now, during the rapture of the church, which is the bride, which is us believers, we are also told that there will be a trumpet call of God. The trumpet is believed to be a reflection of the trumpet sounds in the Old Testament, which was symbolic of God making an announcement to his people. Now, after the trumpet call of God, the dead will rise to meet Christ in the air. Okay? Followed by believers who are presently alive. The dead in Christ refers to believers who passed away before the rapture. During the event of the rapture, all believers who had died will be resurrected into their glorified bodies. If a believer is alive at the time of the rapture, they will be taken up with Christ and their body will be transformed into their new, holy, glorified bodies. Therefore, whether a Christian is alive or dead at the time of the rapture, they will both alike be taken up with the Lord and do what again? Remain with the Lord forever. Now, let's full stop right there for a minute. Let's think about this. Trishy says, why are we represented as a bride? Ooh. Well, that's another long topic to have. But throughout the Bible, the church, Christ's people are called his bride. Because you are to liken us to Christ as you would liken a bride to a groom. You are one once you're married. The respect goes both ways. See what I'm saying? So we are likened to Christ as his bride, as a groom, as a bride is to her groom. And there's so many symbolic things and similarities between a man and a woman becoming married and Jesus and the church becoming reunited. I mean, that is why we should take marriage so seriously. Whether you're living in an old marriage or a new marriage, whether you got married in 1940 or you get married today, don't let society deter you or shape your mind around what marriage should be like. Oh, I could just get divorced whenever I feel like it. If it doesn't work out, at least I can always get divorced, right? Not so. So imagine this. Imagine, and we're going to talk about this in Matthew in a little bit. Imagine you're just walking along the earth, and all of a sudden people are just gone. Bus drivers. Airplane pilots. train engineers and operators. People working in factories. People working at nuclear power plants. Wouldn't that itself cause mass hysteria, mass emergencies, mass death? That's the start of the tribulation. And the tribulation is going to go for 7 years, ladies and gentlemen. 7 years. That's going to happen. Now, as we go through today's lesson on the rapture, there are going to be two major points that I point to that say I believe the rapture comes first and it is pre-tribulation, not post-tribulation. Okay? The rapture of the church will be quick, will be a quick event, which will happen before the 7 year tribulation. This is what I believe, and I'll tell you why in a little bit. Many scholars have different views on this subject, especially if one scholar is a covenant theologian, whereas the other is a dispensationalist. Both covenant theology and dispensationalism built their foundation on the Bible, yet they come to different conclusions based on their interpretation of the text, okay? Now, let's move on. Wondering about the timing of the rapture can cause confusion and anxiety for a lot of people. For ages, people have tried to figure out the exact time that the prophecy of Jesus' return will happen. But even Jesus doesn't know this. Even the Son doesn't know. So how would we ever know? The best place to turn for answers about the rapture is Scripture. There's Bible verses that I've got compiled here about the rapture for us to study. God tells us everything we need to know in the Bible, and there are some things that God has left a mystery for us, not on accident, on purpose. But let us be confident that what he has revealed is salvation, period. Now, let me go through some verses here for you. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due for us or for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Okay? I want you to keep that in mind as we move on, because we're all going to be judged. What I want to do is I want to go to Matthew 24:40 right now. Since we were talking about what happens when everybody just disappears out of nowhere, right? Matthew 24:40 says this: two men will be in a field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. The rapture, folks, is necessary because believers are not appointed to God's wrath. It is one of our gifts from God for being obedient, for believing in Christ. Now we're going to get into where that scripture takes us. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 says this. Says, Jesus who rescues us from the wrath to come. What's going to happen in that 7 year tribulation, folks? There's going to be so much calamity, so much wrath on this earth. And there's so much scripture that says God will keep us from that as his bride. Romans 5:9, much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. Now that could point to post-tribulation rapture. That could still do that. But I want to go through all scripture so we can come to a conclusion at the end. Romans 8:1, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Revelation 3:10, since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the world to test those who live on the earth. What's going to happen in that 7-year tribulation time? Are people going to be given an opportunity to believe in Jesus? Are there going to be trials of magnitudes that we cannot even fathom? And God says, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the world to test those who live on earth. That could speak to pre or post, right? Revelation 6:18 doesn't mention the church. There is no Revelation 6:18, number one. But if you read, if you go to Revelations and you go to, I got this pulled up here, Revelations 6:17, it said, or we can go to 15. Then the kings of the earth, the princess, the generals, and the rich, the mighty, and everyone else, both slave and free, hid in caves and among the rocks of the mountains. They called to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of whom sits on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who can withstand it? But we've already read that we are going to be with Jesus forever at this moment. And we already know that when we come back, we come back with Jesus as his bridegroom. So when did we go there? So for people that don't believe in the rapture, what they believe is that we get caught up in the air, our bodies are transformed, we become the bride of Christ right then and there, and then Christ comes down and judges the earth right there. But what about the 7-year tribulation? What about coming back with Christ? Because here's the thing. When we come back with Christ, it says the heavens open up and we come out of the heavens with Christ while Christ is on a white horse, and it says King of Kings, Lords of Lords on his side, on his legs, right here on whatever garments he's going to be wearing. And he comes back with his bride after the heavens open up. But if Christ brings us up in the air to meet him, you see what I'm saying? How could that be possible? Think about this again. We know that Christ is going to bring us and the dead up in the air to meet him and have our bodies transformed, correct? Okay. Then why would it then say that when Jesus comes for good, this is the second coming of Christ, why does it then say the heavens opened up and Christ and his bride come out of heaven together? That doesn't make sense. That's right, Annette. Another reason to believe animals are in heaven. We talked about that last week too. So for the people who believe in no rapture and believe that everything happens post-tribulation, the tribulations start after like the second temple is built and the Antichrist reveals himself, one world government, one world currency, then the tribulation of 7 years, then Christ comes back. Well, how could he have taken us up in the clouds, transformed our bodies, but then later the heavens open up and we're with him all dressed in white, wearing our garments? Those two things don't make sense to me. So, and that we are not mentioned again until Christ's return with us after the Battle of Armageddon. So that's the thing right there. We got to make sure we understand this. When we're brought up in the clouds, like it says in previous verses that we talked about, we are not mentioned again until after the Battle of Armageddon to set up the 1,000-year reign here on earth. This is proof that the rapture will occur before the tribulation. Now let's talk about the 7-year tribulation. After a large part of the population has mysteriously disappeared, people will surely know there's a God. With all of the confusion and discontent, it will be the perfect opportunity for the Antichrist to appear. He will be welcomed with open arms because the world will be looking for some sort of peace and harmony. Now, what does it say about the Antichrist? The Antichrist will come and he will make everybody believe that he is to be worshipped. Well, and everybody will worship him. All religions will go away and everybody here on earth will worship this Antichrist, or this God is what he'll, you know, portray himself as. Well, the world won't believe that unless they see people just mysteriously disappear. I'm talking atheists, non-believers, agnostics. They won't believe that the Antichrist is some kind of powerful deity to be worshipped unless they see a worldwide cataclysmic event. Are you saying their physical bodies disappear? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Alive people, yes. The Bible says it. Dead people, however that works out, whether they're cremated or their bones are in the ground. But we will all be transformed. Annette says, every generation has Satan has an Antichrist type, as we don't know when the rapture is. I think he has a lot of them ready at this time. I think you're probably right. I think you're probably right. For the first half of the tribulation, he will present himself as a peacemaker, set up one world government and one world currency. We all know this. He'll be respected. He'll be a respected politician. He will then make a covenant with Israel to restore peace and harmony, which makes us think that he is of Jewish descent. But the Bible tells us that the Antichrist will be a Gentile, not a Jew. And during this time, a lot of people will repent and become Christians. But the tide will turn in the second half, and a lot of Christians will be martyred because of their faith. The Antichrist will suddenly change his tune and break the covenant with Israel. So, we know this. We know God will keep us from all of these massive trials that are happening here on earth. And he'll keep us with the Lord forever after we're caught up. So, if we're with the Lord after we're caught up with him in the air, right? If we're already caught up with him, but the people that weren't believers are still here, then they have to be here through all of this. We will not be. We are not going to be witnessing this here on earth. It says we will be with the Lord. Okay, let's say we are witnessing here on earth. Let's just say that. Let's give the naysayers of the rapture that credit. Let's say we don't leave the earth. Still says we're with the Lord forever, right? So whether we're in heaven with the Lord, whether we're over here with the Lord, whether we're over there with the Lord, or whether we're right here on earth with the Lord, we are with the Lord. So we are going to be kept safe from all of this. Again, yielding that to the naysayers of the rapture, let's just say that's correct. We know that we're going to be brought up and transformed. We know that into glorious heavenly bodies. Do you mean to tell me then that we are going to live here on earth with transformed heavenly bodies? Don't you think that that's going to be a little weird for us and everybody here? I don't know what our transformed bodies are going to look like. Maybe we're going to have eyeballs all over our bodies like angels. We don't know. What we do know is that we are going to have transformed, heavenly, and glorified, glorious bodies when we are caught up with Christ in heaven. And that we will not be experiencing all of this because we're going to be kept safe. Then it says when Jesus comes back for the 1,000-year reign, that is when we come back with him. The heavens open up and we come back with him. All of this stuff that I've talked about today points toward the fact that there is a rapture where we will physically, if we're alive, be gone with the Lord, or at least caught up with him and then with the Lord. So again, if you want to capitulate the fact that we don't leave anywhere, we at least know that we're going to be transformed, glorified bodies, because that is in the Bible. We at least know that we're going to be kept from all of these tribulation events because that's in the Bible. And we at least know that we're going to be with the Lord forever. We look like ourselves. What part of yourself? 28, 20 years old yourself? 60 years old yourself? 5 years old yourself? That's what I mean by saying, I don't know. Yeah, we're going to have regular bodies, you know, bodies like God intended us to have, but they're going to be glorified. They'll be free of sin. They'll be purged. But again, I guess none of us really know, you know, what age we're going to be. Are we going to have wrinkles? Are we not? Are we going to be unblemished like an unblemished white lamb? None of that really matters. You know what we're going to be? We're going to be the best versions of ourselves that God wants us to be. And that's all that matters. We don't really care how we look. We won't care how we look. I can guarantee you that. We'll only be basking in the light and the glory of the Lord. So I think what we do here is split hairs, right? We take passages out of the Bible and we interpret them one way. And then this group of people takes passages out of the Bible and interprets them this way. But why should we have to interpret anything? Why shouldn't we just back scripture up with scripture and make a calculated and educated and holy decision on what's real and what's not? We know that we are going to be caught up with Christ. That's called the rapture. Rapturo comes from the Latin word. We know that for sure. That is non-debatable. We know that the alive and the dead will be caught up with Christ at the same time. Well, dead first, alive second, but at the same period of time. And our bodies will be transformed and we'll be with the Lord forever. Does anything matter after that? Really, does anything matter after that? Will you really care about anything else once you are transformed and brought with the Lord and become his groom, his bride? Does anything really matter after that? That's the point that I wanted to get to here at the end. Does anything really matter other than that? You were saved. You were redeemed. You were transformed. You were made right and pure. And you are with the Lord. Boom. Rapture ready, baby. So if you believe the rapture happens before or after, stay ready. Because one thing that can be sure is this. If you stay ready, for whether you call it the rapture, whatever you call it, you can't go wrong. There doesn't need to be a debate after this about the rapture. Amongst us anyway. There doesn't need to be, well, I think this. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what you think. It matters what he says. And what he says is be ready. Stay ready. Not get ready. What he says, it's going to happen in the blink of an eye. What he says is that Jesus is going to come back and grab his bride, period. Regardless of when that is. You don't know when it is, and I don't know what it is. So stay ready. Be ready. All the time. All the time. I've got a good explanation for this from my friends over at Cross Examined with Frank Turek and company. I want to go to this video right now. This is Frank Turek and Pastor Jack Hibbs talking about just this topic, the difference between the rapture and the second coming. I'd like to put that on the screen for you now. This is a good conversation that these two have. Roll it.
Between the rapture and the second coming, according to premillennial dispensationalism.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Frank, the difference between the two, it's monumental. Number one, I'm actually going to try to explain this by a little bit of a picture, if you don't mind. When we talk about, Frank, when we talk about the second, think of it as this umbrella, the second coming. All of this is the second coming. And the handle of that umbrella would be what we would call today the rapture and the physical return to Jesus Christ, that is to earth, to Jerusalem. When we, regarding dispensationalism, what do we see in Scripture? We see the fact that, number one, Frank, God says in the word, the New Testament actually refers to numerous times that these are the last days. John, in his first epistle, says these are the last days. So, audience, listen, if John said then that these are the last days, and this is New Testament theology, then we must come to the understanding that it's been 2,000 years since John said that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that in itself is a dispensation. I don't want to harp too much on dispensational argumentation, except for this right now. The second coming, view it as an umbrella. The rapture of the church is predominantly found in Scripture as a New Testament church-related Gentile event. When the Bible says that you're to be ready, teaches the doctrine of the imminent return of Christ, Paul the Apostle, and what is known as the five we statements in 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul said, we who are alive and remain shall be caught up and meet them, that is the dead who died before us, in the air, and we shall always be with him when he comes.
There it is.
That is a premillennial, what's also known as a futurist view of eschatology, that the rapture could happen at any time. It is an event that demands throughout Scripture that we be ready, that we be watching, that we always be having a light touch on this world, which, by the way, is also a great way to live regarding mission ventures.
That's right.
Evangelism, discipleship, whatever you do it with a sense of urgency, but you do it to the glory of God, because we will occupy until he comes, and because we don't know when he's coming. The second coming is very fantastic and altogether different. The second coming has many, many prerequisite of Bible fulfillment prophecies. For example, before the second coming takes place and the physical return of Jesus Christ happens, there's got to be the advent of a third temple built in Jerusalem. There's got to be the advent of the Antichrist. There's got to be a global world economy and a global world government. There are numerous cataclysmic signs throughout the world, which begin, of course, with Revelation 6 all the way to Revelation 19. Now, here's the kicker, Frank. This is awesome. In Revelation chapter 4, we've got John writing or ending up describing the seven letters to the seven churches and the admonition to those churches. And then John says, I saw heaven opened and the Spirit speaking to me like a trumpet called me up. And from there, John's record of the church is from heaven, nowhere on earth ever again until Revelation 19, Frank. The doors of heaven are opened up and you and I see Revelation chapter 19, and the bride of Christ, the church, is in heaven, dressed in fine linen, clean and bright. She's referred to as an army seated upon white horses, and Christ goes out ahead of her, riding on a white horse with a robe that on his thighs say, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Bam, there it is.
It says that as he comes, we're with him.
That's it.
And that out of his mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword, that with it he should strike the nations.
Yes.
That is the physical return of Christ. Jesus Christ must return physically to earth, and he must sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem. He has to fulfill that. He's never done that yet. He has to do that. The bride of Christ, the church, she looks for the rapture. The physical second coming to earth is something that is referred to in Scripture as the great and terrible day of the Lord. The Bible tells us that those who are on the earth will look and they will mourn and weep, and they will try to hide from the wrath of the Lamb in his coming. So, again, I'm running through this very quickly. Titus 2:13 says that the church is to wait for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Frank, that dovetails perfectly into John 14. A lot of people don't realize that Jesus Christ himself is the one who introduces the hope of the rapture in John 14. In John 14, 1, 2, and 3, Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go now to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And so to fulfill that, Frank, you've got to look at 1 Thessalonians 4, where the church mm-hmm. is caught up, transformed in an instant to meet the resurrected dead in the air. And Christ takes us to that place that has been preparing for us, fulfilling John chapter 14. That's the rapture. That's the second coming under the banner, again, of the second coming events. So if you look.
I could not have explained it any better. Jack Hibbs didn't always have that view, by the way. He didn't always have that view. And scripture kind of leads you to have that view. Because we could have this discussion all day. We could argue and debate all day. But I can tell you this. I'm rapture ready. I am rapture ready, no matter if you want to call it the rapture or not. I am ready to be brought up with Christ and become the bride to Christ, which will be our groom. That's what I'm ready for. That's what you're ready for. I want to go to this one last video that I saved for you and archived for you about marriage. Since we're talking about being Christ's bride, there we go, right here. Pop this on the screen. The true meaning of marriage is not for the multiplication of the human race, but more importantly, it is for God to arrange a partner for each man and woman who will accompany them through each time of their life, whether difficult and painful or easy, joyful and happy. In it all, they will have someone to confide in, to be one with them in heart and mind, and to share in their sorrow, pain, happiness, and joy. This is the meaning behind God arranging marriage for people, and it is the subject need of each individual person. I'm a guy, but I will very much be honored to be the bride of Christ. What say you? Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to do it for Rise Up today. I'll take you out the same way I brought you in, with some very, very, very good music. Yes and amen. I hope today was a little bit informational for you. I hope you got some good information out of today, and I hope it drove you to go and do your own research and study this with God yourself. One thing is for sure, folks, stay rapture ready, no matter what. Mike Crispy, Unafraid, comes up next, 10 a.m. here on LFA TV, followed by 2 hours of Live from America. I hope to see you there. Enjoy your Rise Up coffee and enjoy Mike Crispy coming up next, folks. God bless you guys. See you later. Oh, yeah.